Alrighty, praise God. We want to talk about saved to serve. God saved us for a reason. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. The Bible says, Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Let's read, and we're going to take some words a phrase out of that verse of Scripture and just make it meaningful for us because of tonight's service, because of tonight's happening. And because we celebrate every year, we usually take a month and do that, celebrate that, and we, because there's so much that we need to be grateful about. Galatians 5:13, Paul is talking to the churches at Galatia. There's a bunch of churches there he's writing to. He says, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another," or serve one another. So, and the New Century Version says, "My brothers and sisters, God called you to be free, but do not use your freedom as an excuse to do whatever pleases your sinful self. Serve each other with love." And let me give you another scripture here about serving. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, I'm reading the King James Version and then the New Living Translation. "As every man received a gift," what gift is he talking about? He's talking about the gift to serve. Each one has talents. Each one has abilities. You can bring to God. You bring it to the local church because God is like, you know, out there somewhere. In a practical way, this is where God is. You and I are our body of Christ. And the only way God will ever work in this world is through you and us. Because he doesn't just... His power just flows everywhere, and, oh, he might help somebody, but he's going to work through us. And thank God we have that honor to serve God. That's why it's honorable to serve God. He says, "As every man received a gift." So sometimes, you know, you might not understand if you have a gift, but you all have a gift. I remember coming out of school one night, and I tell this story because it's significant to me because it was impactful. And we remember impactful things, things that really make a change and a lifetime event in our life that we remember, very powerful. Coming out of school one evening at University of Manitoba, taking a class in a kind of a business program that I was in. And so I was driving down from the university, going out to the Pembina Highway on the east south side of Winnipeg. And the Lord came into my car. He spoke to me and he asked me this. Jesus came and told me this. He said to me, "What are you going to do with the gift I gave you?" And at that point, I did not know I had a gift. And so you might be like me, that you don't know you have a gift. And you don't perceive that you have a gift. And what you have as a gift, you do not recognize it. You do not value it. So you need to value what God has given to you. You might not think it's worth much. You might not think you're good enough. We talked about that last time. Each person that God's called, they always felt, "I'm not good enough. I'm not righteous enough. I'm not special enough. I'm not talented enough." And so we all have excuses why we don't serve God. You know, and so I know when God called me to the ministry to be a preacher, to be a pastor, I said, "Lord, I haven't gone to theological seminary. I didn't go to Bible school." And all God wanted me to say is yes. He's not waiting for you to be something special. Because when you say yes to God, he'll make the changes necessary for you to go where you're supposed to go. And you're not going to get there overnight. God's not going to give you some big special thing to do when you haven't been proven, when you haven't been tested, when you have not been developed. It takes a while to jump into where God really wants you as, you know, the most pivotal things, the most highest thing he wants you to do. When Paul was called, he didn't start off as an apostle. Paul never started off as an apostle. He started at the lower level. He started off as being a preacher, just preaching the gospel. When I say just preaching the gospel, I mean preaching the gospel is very magnificent. And God added on to his calling as you go along. So don't belittle the gift that God has placed in your life. Don't say, I'm too old. I'm too sick. What can I do? I have a cane here. Well, you could do something. You could hit the devil with that cane. You can do whatever you have. You can do something. You can talk. You can shake a hand. Amen? And, you know, while you're shaking hand, God's healing you. Don't belittle what you have. And you say, well, I can't serve. Well, don't be like that. So, you know, Moses, when God called Moses, Moses says, I can't talk. And yes, you couldn't talk, but God still called him. He's not waiting for you to be something magnificent. He's going to... My mind is going faster than my... Zamago, somebody said. Anyway. It's funny, eh? You know, that's not funny. It is funny. Yeah. So never take yourself too seriously, too. Yeah, we were at a memorial service Friday, and when the young girl who was actually, chairing it, whatever you call it, is it chairing it, and was making mistakes and stuff, and got flustered, and I must have flustered her because I was asking her, I didn't know what she was doing, and I was just asking a question, and somebody else came, and she got all flustered, and she called me to preach before somebody else was supposed to come up, and there was a big commotion. A big fight broke out. No, I'm just kidding. No fight. No, just, it happened, and I got all flustered, and so we had a laugh. We said, you know, we shouldn't really take ourselves so serious. So sometimes if you're preaching, if you're getting up to give discussion and you're leading something like that, you know, who cares, right? Just you, maybe. But sometimes when you first, especially when you first get up and you speak, you know, you think you got to be all professional all the time, you know, all, have it all together and your hair is in place and, you know, your zipper's not open. And, well, they teach you that too at Bible school. Make sure your zipper's closed. So you don't want to be a distraction. So those are things you have to be careful for because sometimes you get a little flustered. So don't take yourself too seriously. Take yourself serious enough. But not too seriously, right? So because then you can't do anything. Be helpful to people. So I'm just trying to say, you know, right here from the scripture verse that, you know, this guy here, Peter, is talking to the church there. He says, as every man received a gift, even so minister the same to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So the grace of God is that ministry or that ability that God has given you. You are a steward. In other words, God gave you something that doesn't actually belong to you. It belongs to someone else. It belongs to someone that is supposed to need what you have. That's what a steward is. You have something that God has given you for others. Amen? So your gifting is not for you to go and enjoy it in your bedroom, but it's to bring out here to help somebody else. Hallelujah. Can you say thank God? So let me read it in the New Living Translation. God has given each of you a gift. Is that plain enough? From the King James, you know, you read the King James, you're kind of twist your head around, what is it saying here? But the New Living gives us a real, just everyday language. He says, God has given you a gift. Now the question for you is to ask this question. What is that gift? What is that gift? And I know you know the gift, you're familiar with it, but maybe you don't recognize it spiritually enough to know the significance of that gift. And he says, from a great variety of spiritual gifts, use them well to serve others. So we have two scriptures, Galatians chapter 5 and 13, and 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, serve other people. Serve other people. So I want to read a scripture verse. I was thinking about this earlier, and these are not on my notes. By the way, I could have sent you these, and I can. I'll do it right now in front of everybody. No, this is not the one, is it? Yeah. I'm going to give it to you right now. So you have the same thing, because sometimes, you know, when you're ministering, you're reminded that God's given you something, so you have to write the note down, or else you forget it. It doesn't come on your head, it comes to your spirit, because you don't always remember it. I learned that from Brother Hagin. He says, you know, sometimes you have something that God gives you, it comes up to your mind, it comes up to your spirit, and if you don't write it down, you'll forget it, because it doesn't come from your mind. It comes from your spirit, it comes up to your mind of your soul. So, write it down. Let me just read a few of these scriptures with you and just remind you about serving. There's a lot of there I have written down, a message there, but these are things that God has given me this morning. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28. Everybody say, serve one another. Thank you. All right. 1 Corinthians 12, 28 says, and God had set some in the church. He didn't say the government, didn't say an agency, an organization, didn't say a group of people, but God had set them. Who does it? God does it. God had set them in the church. Is the church significant? Is the church important? Well, if God put something in the church, inside, you know, the church in a practical way, the church is when you assemble together. This is the practical idea of church. Church, the word church is actually the Greek word ecclesia. It means called out ones, called out from darkness into light. So every one of us are called out ones, but God has assembled people together in a local setting to do the practical work that he wants them to do. So we are joined together. You know, that we can't do something significantly impactful without one another. We need each other. Turn to your neighbor and say, I need you. Say, the church needs you. So here's another thing that you need to understand. People say, well, you know, God, I need God, but he doesn't need me. No, God needs you. That's a mistake. That's a religious idea. God needs you. He needs you to be on top of your game. He needs you to do what you're supposed to be doing. So, 1 Corinthians, did you find that? 12 and 28, God had set them in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps. Everybody say helps. It says governments, diversities of tongues. And so those there itemized for us are what we call ministries. But also recognize, you know, the word helps. You see the word tongues. That's not the same as when you receive your prayer language when you were filled with the Spirit. That's a different, activation and ministry that God has given. So it's a different kind. You get up in the church and you start giving a word in tongues. That's a service. That's a ministry. That's more impactful than your own language. So that's a different thing. Sometimes people take that out of context and say, see, I told you, I don't have to be filled with tongues. Then it talks about it. If you read the rest of it, you'll see there. Not everybody's an apostle. Not everybody's, you know, so on and so forth. So what I wanted you to remember is this. It says helps in there. So there is a ministry that goes on in the church, because it says in there, God has set them in the church. It says helps. So the word helps can be defined as anything that does some kind of service. Anything that God gives aid. Anything that gives assistance. Anything that gives support to this body. That's what it's there for. So God has put that in the church so that we can belong somewhere and we can be of service. We might not all, you know, be one of those, but there's a ministry gift called, it's a ministry called helping. And that's why the Bible says, serve by love, serve one another. So this is what you're doing. You're serving. And God initiated that, and God put that in the church because he knew that one person is not a job for one person. Bringing the gospel to the community, bringing the gospel to the world. If God says, go out and do all the world, well, you can't go on your own to the world. You need other people to serve you. Even Jesus had a ministry of helps. Even Jesus had a donor base. The Bible says that Jesus, in his walk in ministry, had people giving him financial aid as he went along in his ministry. The Bible says they gave of their substance. They gave what Jesus needed. And they also had an administrator, financial person, who stole money, but he did the work there. His name was Judas. Mm-hmm. So that's why we make sure we check you out if you're going to serve in the finances. Right? And money is important, right? You don't want anybody robbing. So helps is a great service to the church. And so this particular thing happened in the early beginnings or the beginnings of the church in Acts chapter 6. Here we see in Acts chapter 6 the history of the beginning of what we call the helps ministry. So the disciples, the leaders of that church, begin to recognize that there was a criteria in order for us to serve, a basic criteria. Everybody say criteria. So not everybody can just come into any church and just say, I want to do this or that. No, you have to be tested. First of all, we want to check your criminal record, make sure you're not, you know, dangerous to people. Right? So it's important, like just as much as any organization in the world, you go to them, they check you out. And they'll ask for references. When you come here from another church, and you want to serve, I asked your pastor, wherever you're from, I said, who is this guy? Give me some, references on him. What did he do in the church? What kind of gift does he have? How can I use him? Did he have any problems? We don't usually say, but, I said, well, you better watch him. He does give a lot of money. That'd be good, eh? And he works all the time, man. He's tireless. Who's that? Oh, that's his name is Jerry. Jerry is one of the most generous persons you ever meet. Amen. With his wife's money. he's very helpful. People around recognize him as a good server. They say, I like that Jerry. You know, he's such a good server. So, Jerry, you're a commendable man. Did you find Acts chapter 6, 1 to 4? We're talking about here the beginning. This is the beginning of the helps ministry in Acts chapter 6 where it all started. And there was developed a criteria, and people can look around. If you look around the church, you'll recognize different people. You know, we ask people, where do you work? What do you do at your job? And what you do at your job, you can bring the same skills to the church, right? And you use those gifts. Here, Acts chapter 6, let's go ahead and read it. In those days, the number of disciples was multiplied. You know, when you have more people, there's more to do. There's more toilet paper. We need more toilet paper. We got to wash the floor more often. Like when you leave your... Who do you think cleans the toilets and washes the floor? There's somebody that does it. Who cleans the chairs, right? There's somebody that does it. Who cleans the, removes the snow? Who cuts the grass? There's those jobs. Somebody's going to do it. So there's got to be somebody has a skill. I know Pastor Ken has a few skills. There arose a murmuring of Grecians against the Hebrews. How many people know that there's fights in the church? You had arguments about who's going to do what and who gets more and why. You know, those are things that happen in church. Because the widows were being neglected of daily ministration. The word ministration is actually word service or deaconing. That word ministration is, it means the word is deaconing. You know, deacons are what we call servers or servants or people who give aid and support and assistance. So they were being neglected in daily service. So they needed more workers. When the 12 called a multitude of disciples unto them, he said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." So that is called serving tables. Serving is practical ministry. It's a service. So if Pastor Ken, Pastor Steve, all day had to work all day and just wash floors, change light bulbs, cut the grass, wash clothes, do everything and paint everything and do all that, they would never get a chance to study the word and do those things in council and whatever they have to do. So that's what they're talking about here. And it goes on to say over here, "Wherefore, brethren, look out among you seven men of honest report." Everybody say honest report. That means look out around your church over here who has a good reputation. You know, you might look good here, but out there, you might be wanted by the cops. Eh? You might be leaving a bunch of bills everywhere. Collectors phoning you every day. I'm not reading anybody's mail. I'm just saying that. Pastor can't get calm down here. Okay, watch this. Honest but full of the Holy Ghost. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, you're not always mad. Right? You're not always sad and feeling bad and you know, you're resentful. So isn't it nice to work with people who are happy? So when we're full of the Spirit, full of God, full of the Spirit of God, you're easy to get along with. Can you see that working in the church? You need to have an attitude, a good one. Right? Is that practical? Okay, so you're not wanted by the cops and you're happy. So those are two things that we want. We want you to know, and you don't owe a lot of money. Okay. So it says also here, and wisdom, full of wisdom. You know, wisdom is important. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge appropriately. Like somebody who's, talking before they ever think about what they're going to say to people. We don't quote a number of scriptures when somebody's having a hard time. We don't give them all the Christianese and, what do you call that? You know, just telling people, oh, you'll be okay, and the Lord's with you. I mean, you know, sometimes just people need to listen, right? Wisdom is important to have. You know, when you're dealing with people with complex issues, we need to be people who understand dynamics of human relationships. Oh, wow, that sounds good, eh? So we do need that. We do need to handle, relationships. That's what I appreciate about married people. You've done a lot of fighting at home. And you learn, you keep learning, right? You learn to stay away from your mate when you need to. Right? Yeah? You don't fight all the time. Because winning a battle, winning an argument is not the point. You could lose a friend just saying things to people. Mess up relationships. Mess up friendships in the church. Like when someone's missing for years and they walk through the doors and said, Where have you been? That's not the right thing to say. Right? So we need wisdom dealing with people. So those are criteria. Those are three basic criteria that anyone who serves in the ministry helps needs to have. You need to have a good reputation. inside the church and outside the church. You need to have full of the Holy Ghost. You need to be a person who is happy. You don't have issues that you're dealing with all the time, and you got an issue. You know, you don't want to put people in service that's not you're not ready yet, right? Especially in leadership areas, and you need wisdom. And so we do have a criteria. We took from that. We made a criteria in the church of what it would be a good criteria as a policy. Here are some things that are good. So we could share that with you. So this is the beginning of the health ministry. So we could see, and then the verse 4 says, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. So that's the main focus of the ministry gifts that are in the church. Their main goal is to dig in the word and study and do whatever the word says for them to do. Okay. I want to show you a prayer here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. This is a prayer that Paul prayed for the church at Thessalonica, and it has significance to what we're talking about this morning and what will happen tonight. We're honoring people tonight who work in the ministry. We want to take that time to say we appreciate you, we love you, here's a nice meal, and here's a nice gift card. We want to pray you down Leslie Street over here. You know, like you won the Stanley Cup. That'd be awesome, right? They said, what are those guys at Faith City doing, driving around, but people waving to everybody? Yeah? Oh, those are special people. They're the ministry house. You know? I want to belong to that church. You know? Well, not only the Queen can do that, right? We can do that too. Right. All right. Did you find it? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2. Let's read the whole thing, chapter 1, 2, 3. It says, Paul says, we give thanks to God always for you. It's good to be grateful for who you have in your life, right? So for all of you, not just for one person, but all of them. So making mention of you in my prayer. So it's important for, I told our staff, listen, staff, I said, you're responsible to pray for the church as much as you can, and remember every day if you can, and if you don't, always remember, but when you do remember, pray. You know, listen, sometimes, you know, when you have a prayer time, you don't always have to follow your same routine. Sometimes you're there to just worship God and thank God for everything, just a time of just worshiping and thanking God, time of praise. It's okay to not go through your list all the time. So, making mention of you in my prayers. So not just one kind of praying, but he did all kinds of prayer. There's many times he prayed for them. Verse 3 says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. How many people know that this is a work of faith? What you're doing is you're doing it because you believe God said to do it. You're believing that God sent you to Faith City Church to do work of faith, to do something. God didn't just send you here just to, like, you know, wow, that's a great service, and go home and forget about it. But to join and to help out and to serve along with your fellow man, and you learn. That's the way you learn, is working with other people. So when you, if you don't feel like you belong, it's because you didn't put yourself in, you didn't get involved, and you didn't want to learn how to interact with people. Some people quit because they feel like they had a conflict with somebody and they can't get over it, and so they don't come back again. You have to get over hard times with people. If you don't, the devil will take you out, right? So he says, and patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ instead of all, God, I want to read it in another version as well. King James says, verse 3, right? Remembering without ceasing. Is that King James? Yeah? Your work of faith and labor of love? It says here, King James says, I have work of faith and labor of love. So your work is the display of love that you have for God. Because you serve other people, because you serve inside the house, you're doing it because you love God. You go and pick up somebody who needs a ride to church, you've done it because you love God. You're giving, you know, a portion of your income because you want to serve here, because you're doing it because you love God. When you work out in public, you got a job, and you take some of that money, you're giving to God. God, I love you. Love is always action, right? It always shows you love somebody. You see, if you never do anything for somebody, you never hug them, never take them out, never buy them anything, never do anything, serve them, you say, I love you, then you better check up on your love, right? So it's in there. Now, here is Matthew 25 and 45 says, Jesus is speaking. Then he shall answer them, saying, verily I say to you, inasmuch as you did it not to one another, the least of your brethren, you did it not unto me. This is the other portion of it. What you don't do for the church, when you don't do for somebody else, God tells you to do it, then you're not doing it for Jesus. He's talking about visiting the sick and helping different people, you know, whatever it is. That if it's a ministry, you might be involved in other things in the ministry in church. So whatever we do for someone, we're doing it to God, to Jesus. Remember in Acts chapter 9, when Jesus appears to Paul, and Paul was hurting the church, he was murdering the people, putting them in jail, he's whipping them and doing all that bad stuff. And Jesus appears to Paul and says, Paul, why are you hurting me? So he identifies with those people that are being hurt and murdered. He's identifying himself with them. The scripture says in Colossians and Ephesians that we are the body of Christ. That if God's going to do something, if anything's going to happen, he's going to do it through our lives. Let's go to another scripture here. Colossians chapter 2, verse 23, King James Version, says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. So this is an attitude that we must adopt when you're helping and serving, you're shoving snow, you're crying, shoving that snow out there, guys. And I know you're going, oh, it's so hard, you know. You have all your clean shirt is now all sweaty. You're shoving snow in the wintertime or whatever, and then you're going to come to church. But whatever you do, do it unto God like you're doing it for Jesus. I remember a guy that we all admire around here, some of our leadership have known, Tony Cook. He's written several books, traveled all over the world now. He was Pastor Kenneth Hagin's right-hand man for almost 20 years, just under 20 years, and he was our dean for a number of years. I really admired how he carried himself with people and how he treated people, and you take note of those kinds of people. And he said he had a job. While he was in Rhema, he had a job while going to school, and he was working at a church. And he got an attitude complaining about what he was doing. And I know people here complain at times, and we all done that because we don't like to do certain things. Let me ask you a question. You don't have to lift your hands up, but the question is, have you ever complained about things you didn't want to do, right? So, we have. And I know I have many times when God told me, even when God told me to do it, I still complain. You know, Philippians says, Do everything without complaining, Philippians says, right? Do everything without complaining. And serve the Lord. So, because sometimes we complain, oh, Lord, you know, I didn't come here to this church to hook with little children. They're smelly and they don't listen to me. I didn't come here to work in the bathroom in the First John Ministries, cleaning toilets. Don't they know I'm a singer? Don't they know I'm a great leader? I have administrative skills. And what am I doing here in the bathroom? You know? So here's Tony Cook. He's, you know, he's a great man of God, great skill. He's cleaning bathrooms, washing the bathrooms, and he's complaining. And the Lord spoke to him. He said, Tony, what if Jesus was coming into this bathroom? What if Jesus was coming here? What would you do? He said, I'd clean that bathroom. I'd do the best. He said, well, people are going to come in here. They're his people. That's the body of Christ. Do it without complaining. So we serve God in that way. So I know it's hard sometimes. It's a little more difficult. Other times it's easier. Sometimes it's not. Romans 16, 1 and 2. Let's go ahead and read this. A couple more scriptures. And we're out of here. I know I gave you a lot of scripture there. Yes, Mina, I gave a lot of scripture, but we ain't going there today. It's huge. We'd be here till tomorrow. Paul is writing to some people. You know, in the beginning, there were small churches. There was house churches. God was using people. And there was a lady there by the name of Phoebe. She was acting as a pastor of that small house church. It says here, I commend you to our sister Phoebe, who is a deacon. Everybody say a deacon. So that means a servant, a server. In the church at Centuria, welcome her in the Lord as one who is worthy of honor among God's people. So how did they honor her? He said this, help her in whatever she needs. Now this is God talking, the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul. He said we honor one another when we help each other, when we serve together, when we serve one another, when we serve the body of Christ. We're honoring God. So tonight, we're going to honor people. We're going to talk some stories. People are going to share a little bit. And we're going to eat together. And just enjoy each other. So I want to invite you, if you haven't signed up yet, please sign up. Let the ladies know so that we can have a chair reserved for you. Right? And so you can enjoy that as well. Okay. So somebody's calling already. They want to come in and join that church ready service right away. That's online right now. So yeah, tell that Roma Fisher I'm coming here and I want two plates of chicken. All right? Yeah? That's Dennis. Tell him, sign him up right away. Dennis, you're going to come to church. Help her whatever she needs. Everybody say, help her.
Help her.
Say, help them.
Help them.
Whatever they need.
Whatever they need.
Here's something, Brother Hagin, you know. We admire Keith Moore, and, you know, God prospered them. God increased them. Brother Moore went to Rhema. He said, I was just an old Louisiana boy. I think he was called, is it Louisiana? Anyway, with no shoes, working in the fields with mud between his feet. God called me to Rhema to serve there, and he didn't know where he was going to go. So he's working there in the church and in the Bible school, and he heard the Lord spoke to him. He said, serve, help Brother Hagin. That's what he heard. Help Brother Hagin. That's all he said. Didn't say, oh, I want you to sing some songs and write poems and make sure you grab a suitcase. No, he just said, help him. So this is where we're missing it sometimes. We miss something because we want a perfect word from God. And God will just give you something. Just, it'll start small, and we follow that leading. And one thing leads to another. One thing leads back and forth. So he says to the people there, help her whatever she needs. And here's another thought about it, and that is like, you're coming here to serve. You're not here to serve yourself. Helpers are not here to serve yourself. You're here to help the people. do what they're supposed to do. Whatever God told them to do, you tell, you're going to help them. And then sometimes people come in and say, well, let me tell you how to do this. I'm expert at it. Back away. I'll do this job for you. No, you're coming as a server. You're going to help. So here's a couple of things to remember in serving. And I always say this, serving can be detrimental and unhealthy for you if you don't do it the right way. Serving in the ministry can be dangerous to your health. Anybody knows that you go working for Hydro or go work in a shop somewhere, there are certain things you have to know for your safety. So when you're working with people, there are certain things you have to know in order for your safety. Because you don't know. It's the last time you push that guy's button. Right? We used to joke a lot, you know, before. Sometimes they're still asking, the boys ask me, come play hockey at Roma. Can you still play hockey? No, I quit like 30 years ago. Somebody asked me the other day. In fact, Titus Simple asked me yesterday, come on, you know, are you still playing hockey? I said, no, I don't play hockey anymore. I'm happy too. I don't have to be pressured and, you know, play, skate harder, work harder. And when you get scored on, it's your fault. You know, so anyway, one day where I was coming in with my hockey equipment and one of my friends, you know, my cousin friend, he always says something. He said, I could have used you yesterday, says to me. Because they had the game. I was missing. So he's telling me now they missed me and they're mad at me. I said, oh, yeah? He said, yeah. I could have used you. You could have carried my hockey equipment for me. I thought it was something great, right? So anyway, we need you. The church needs you. Here are some things you have to know so that you can at least have the basic idea. So first of all, if you're going to serve in the church or any other place, you have to have training. Okay? And not just one time, but ongoing, because sometimes we slip and we have to renew our mind with certain things and we get to be reminded of things that we have to do. So we have criteria. And three areas that we'd like for every worker to know in the church. And another one, the first thing is that there's a certain value we have regarding serving. Know what kind of values we have. What kind of value do we put on serving people? We don't just show up, you know, your hair all messed up like last year's bird nest, they say. And, you know, you wash your face. We want you to brush your teeth so that you smell good and whatever. We basic things. We have a certain kind of value. We want you to serve with gusto and whatever. So values. We have a certain, number two, we have attitudes. We adopt attitudes. You know, Paul tells the Philippians, he says, do everything without complaining. You know, so we want you to serve. We want you to be happy. Like sometimes you might not be happy doing certain things, but we do it anyway. If you're mad, keep it to yourself. No, we're not asking anybody to be abusive to you. They also have a criteria. Those that are serving as leaders, they also have they have a certain criteria. So number one is values. What are the values here? Number two, what are the attitudes? Number two, that we have to adopt. And number three, what are the standards that we have to know? So those are three general areas that we're looking at. And so those are very specific teachings. We're sure we're not going to talk about those today. Let's go ahead and stand up as we close the service. I hope you got something out of it. Thank you, Lord. Are we serving? We're not serving. Thank you, Lord. All righty. We do offer coffee for a small fee. No, we don't. You can come. I want these girls to have coffee with us. Would you mind having 5 minutes? I'd like to meet you individually. and take your number down so that we can call you to serve. No, I'm just joking with you. No, the coffee's free. We have some something if you want refreshment or something. It's there for you for free. And take that and meet somebody. Meet somebody you've never seen before. I encourage people, if you haven't seen anybody here before, shake your hand. Be friendly. Show yourself to be friendly. And so come over there and we'd like to meet you. Father, we want to thank you for every single person in here, that the skills they have are useful. They're useful members and important members of your body. We thank you that everyone we pray would feel important and significant, and that they're meaningful. They have meaningful lives, and who they are and what they're doing is important to us and important to everybody and those that need their service. Thank you for all those that are gathered together, those that are at home. We pray for that. The rest of them will come back to church and start serving again and getting involved. And I like what the man said, Father, a man that served many, many men over the years, Demas Shakarian, leader of the Full Gospel Businessmen. He says, the happiest people in the world are people who serve other people. Thank you for that wisdom, that giving gives us something significant. Giving and serving gives us something, makes us feel important, makes us feel a part of something bigger than ourselves. Thank you this morning for those that are here. I pray that each one here and those that are online, that if they've never known Jesus Christ, never invited them in their heart, they would say today, Jesus, I recognize you're the Son of God. You're the Savior of the world. The Bible says, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And so, Father, we pray with those people who would say, Jesus, I recognize you're the Savior of the world. Come into my heart. Forgive me. I cannot save myself. I'm a sinner. Save me. I'm asking you right now to be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you for that. We also pray for those who've been away from God. And you don't have to do anything special except to say, God, I've been wrong. I'm not right. I've been away from God for a long time. I'm coming back home. And that's how you do it. And those of you that are in the church that have certain things that you're struggling with, you say, God, I'm giving it to you. I'm turning my will. I'm turning this over to you again. Yes, I failed. And I know you'll all forgive me. So I'm turning that over to you. I give it to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for forgiving me. You said you'd do it again and again. In Jesus' name, amen.